Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
About to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. Here's the number, 800-922-6680. And for those of you who are just tuning in for the very first time today, I have officially declared it the Tuesday of Transgender Taco Visibility. So, formerly known as Taco Tuesday, and yes, I knew that every Tuesday is Taco Tuesday when I made this proclamation, unlike Joe Biden, who says he has no idea yesterday that somebody authorized making Easter into the Transgender Day of Visibility, even though he signed the proclamation that said, I, Joe Biden, of sound mind and body, whatever. So, you have to believe either he's completely incompetent, or he actually is competent and he should take complete responsibility, which is exactly the same thing that happened with the classified documents case. You have to believe that he is either completely incompetent and should be exonerated, or he's fully competent and needs to be held responsible. Right now, he's trying to straddle the fence between the two of them. See, you know what? This is why we have fun on this show. I realize we're in very serious times. Don't get me wrong. You know this. I am very, I'm not concerned about the future of the country. I'm concerned about how we get there. Because if Sunday's any indication, and the last, I don't know, 8 years are any indication, it's going to get really big and really ugly. And there's this new case, you know, this idiotic Stormy Daniels case in New York. They're doing their level best to make something out of it that it's not, making it something really big. It's like their last dying throes of the left trying to take Donald Trump down. And you know what? It's not going to work. It's not going to work because it's a nonsensical case. This is the last 8 years. Listen to this. The last 8 years of the media claiming that the walls were closing in on Donald Trump.
Why do you think these attacks are becoming so much more frequent now?
It's not surprising that Donald Trump is increasing his attacks. The walls are closing in on him.
This is Star Wars.
Feels like the walls closing in on the White House.
That was 2017.
Feels as if the walls are closing in here.
I think the walls of justice are closing in on President Trump.
Increasingly desperate, feeling like the walls are closing in. The president clearly feels all the walls.
Those are the slowest walls in the history of mankind.
Walls closing in on him in terms of the Russia investigation.
The walls are closing in.
I think at this point, the walls are spinning. It does feel like the walls are closing in.
But that's 2020.
I think that the administration at this point can start to see the walls closing in.
He feels the walls closing in.
It's 2017 again with Joe Scarborough.
And on him.
Everybody he talks to says the walls are closing in.
This is another potential wall closing in.
Yeah.
This president is feeling the walls are closing in.
The walls, meanwhile, are closing in on the president of the United States.
I think he's feeling the Russia investigation. I think he's feeling the walls closing in on him.
I think he knows that the walls are closing in.
2018,
the walls may be
right
closing in higher up at the White House.
The president apparently believes that the walls are closing in.
Like the walls are closing in. As he feels the walls are closing in.
You know, my wife and I watch a lot of HGTV. If it took that long for the walls to close in, we'd stop watching TV. So that wasn't the very best analogy there. RFK Jr. was asked on CNN who the bigger threat is to democracy, even though we're not a democracy. The bigger threat to America, and everybody knows it. That's why, you know, depending on the poll, 60 or 70 to 77% of us believe the country's going in the wrong direction. And while I believe that RFK Jr. will not be the president because he's going to draw votes from Joe Biden because, A, he doesn't have dementia, and B, his running mate is really left of center and is not a complete idiot like Kamala Harris. But here is what RFK had to say about that. And everybody's got their panties in a bunch. Even Joe Scarborough, I hear he wears them.
President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS.
And by the way, you Democrats, you don't have a choice either. Even though 38% of the electorate don't believe that Joe Biden will live through his second term. And yet the mainstream media is trying to tell you that he is at his peak intellectually. See, this is why so many Democrats are leaving the Democrat Party, because even some Democrats aren't stupid.
To CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, used the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
Yeah, and this is why he has to be removed from office. He has to be defeated because Joe Biden and the people in charge of this country are really dastardly, evil, awful, wretched people. That's it. And everybody gets it. Oh, speaking of which, Hillary Clinton was on Jimmy Fallon's show last night, and here she is talking about what is at stake. And remember, she's Hillary Clinton, and you know.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice. Really, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully, people.
Well, I think it's pretty easy actually, because I don't know. Have you tried to buy anything lately, or I don't know? You know, try to pay your bills.
People will realize what's at stake because it's an existential question.
If Joe Biden is the president again, you know, the country's over.
Who we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have, and people who blow that off are not paying attention.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think they're paying attention. That's why Joe Biden's poll numbers are so terrible. Here's Hillary saying that, hey, man, we've got these two candidates. Just deal with it.
But it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself.
I don't think she's gotten over getting defeated in 2016. She still brings it up all the time.
Those are the two choices.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And
there you go. Everybody's like, oh, we recognize the ridiculousness of Hillary Clinton saying that, but Jimmy Fallon is going to get everybody to applaud.
And, you know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart, and really cares about people.
Okay, that would be Donald Trump. Go ahead.
And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Political indictments out of the White House.
Okay.
I mean,
there's proof of that.
Okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice.
Well, it isn't. You know, if you're a Jew, you shouldn't vote for Joe Biden, and if you're a Christian, you shouldn't vote for Joe Biden, and if you are suffering right now because of this economy, you shouldn't vote for Joe Biden, among other things. And then, of course, the whole open border thing. Oh, here she is last night for some reason bringing up women's suffrage, even though women have been voting in this country freely for over 100 years.
So, get out there and vote.
Get out there
and
vote. Well, that's what this is really about. Get out there and vote. I mean, this is such an exciting, I would even say thrilling story of real life women, you know, great American women like Alice Paul and Ida B. Wells and Carrie Chapman Catt.
I mean, I haven't heard any of those.
Real historic figures.
Yeah.
And what they went through to get us the right
Norma Rudolph
vote. And so when people blow it off and you think about these women picketing, marching, going to prison, being force fed to get the right to vote, right? And you can't just blow it off. I mean,
what the hell? Really? What, really? We're talking about suffrage? suffrage is at stake. just unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is pretty interesting. Matt Gaetz was on a podcast I don't have in front of me right now, talking about, you know, if you're talking about what's at stake, right? The Biden administration, clearly, Biden's losing polls. His economy sucks. His approval on everything is terrible. He's basically unelectable. But that's where members of our party, or at least those of you who consider to be your Republicans, are doing their level best to give power to the Democrats.
There is an organized effort by the political left right now to buy people off to quit, and then also to try to compromise people. I know of circumstances right now where people are being told, you should quit or else. Some embarrassing information might come out. We might lie about you and say things that are false. They're actually trying to steal the majority that the people gave to the Republican Party and convert it to the Democratic Party, and they should not have enablers and co-conspirators in our movement willing to facilitate that.
No, but there are. There are, because, you know, everybody's got a price. Just ask Michael Steele. Yeah. Steve Bannon, again, I already played a little Steve Bannon today. He just says some smart stuff. I enjoy Steve Bannon, you know. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned is the left is so, you know, I use the expression. I like to use the expression that Democrats die like movie vampires. They scratch and claw, trying to drag everyone into hell with them when they fail. And I always use this soundbite from the movie Lost Boys.
Soul is mine!
The country's going to hell with us! We all want to live in poverty. We all want to live in an open border fentanyl crisis. Yeah, that's what they do. They try to drag us all into hell with them. But we aren't going. We are not going. And Steve Bannon, this is him explaining the Democrats right now, and they are desperately dying movie vampires.
There are many plots to stop Trump. Remember, they never in 10 billion years ever thought that we'd be on April 1st of 2024 and he'd be the Republican nominee and he'd be leading virtually in every poll that matters, and some by massive amounts. And listen,
because anyone else would have been taken down. Ron DeSantis would have been out. Nikki Haley would have been out. Had it not been this year, they would have already been gone. They would have been destroyed by the use of the legal system to destroy them financially, the media to destroy them in every other way. But the only person who had the money and the balls to survive this long just happens to be Donald Trump.
It's like now you could have over 375 electoral votes. And take and increase in the House, take the Senate, take governorships, school boards, town councils, state legislatures, a massive sweeping victory, all of that. They never thought that would happen in a million years. And that's why they're trying to, in a million different ways,
movie vampires,
figure out from the lawfare. And 2 weeks from today, they're going to start a global media event, the trial of Donald Trump, on cooked up, ridiculous, stupid. The charges are stupid, and they're not going to spend a lot of time on the charges because they're so redonkulous. They're going to spend a lot of time with the Stormy Daniels of the world. Show you he's a orange man bad. That's the basic thesis. Orange man bad. How do you think Mika's going to be that? You think she's going to be hugging her Bible that week? Yeah. I don't think so. Going to be all porn stars and playmate bunnies and all that. Orange man bad.
Yeah, by the way, Alvin Bragg is urging Judge Merchan in New York to expand Trump's gag order to include family members of trial participants after MSNBC's Nicole Wallace threw a temper tantrum. This is Alvin Bragg. The defendant's dangerous, violent, and reprehensive rhetoric fundamentally threatens the integrity of these proceedings as it's intended to intimidate witnesses and trial participants. Yeah, right. Including this court, Bragg's prosecutor wrote in a motion on Monday. They're just afraid of him. And they want him shut up, and you will accept this this nonsensical political indictment, and we will move on. That's what they want to do. That's what they tried to do in the other case, in the real estate case. Did the same thing. Eventually, all of this was going to come out in the wash. Again, you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused, and you got to stay positive and patriotic. Coming up, why are Americans going hungry despite the great economy? Right? It's supposed to be a great economy. And then apparently all those illegals that were coming across the southern border via airline flights, all 325,000, they were sent to Florida and Texas intentionally without the governor's knowing. Yeah, that's what we're up against. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Y'all about sick of this nonsense? Let's take America back. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Yeah, I think we are way overdone on the nonsense thing. If the country and the population were a Thanksgiving turkey, that little thermometer to be sticking out big time. I asked this question yesterday on X, by the way, used to be Twitter. And by the way, if you want to follow me on social media, all social media, everything, Rumble, Getter, Truth, Twitter, X, Facebook, which I kind of use, and Instagram. It's all under Rob Carson Show. There you go. I've been very busy on Instagram. Got a new guy, Dylan, who's doing a great job putting on some great videos. But I asked this question yesterday on X. The average salary needed to buy a new home is now $116,000, up from $65,000 4 years ago. Are homes becoming unaffordable to you? And the poll right now says that 82% say, yeah, too expensive. No, says 17%. So I would say that is not a good sign for the Biden economy. And this is our Biden economy theme song.
We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Hot pockets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday. We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Hot pockets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
Yeehaw! And if you don't believe me about home prices, check this out, because this is obscene. All right, this is obscene.
The average home buyer needs to make over $110,000 to afford the average home. A new Bankrate study showing that the required salary to make that purchase has jumped 46% in just 4 years. Home buyers only needed to make $76,000 back in 2020. And the issue, widespread. You now need a six-figure salary to buy the average home in 23 states, including the District of Columbia. 4 years ago, that number was just six. Mortgage rates, of course, have played a small role in the bump, but home prices have, by and large, kept pace with the needed salary to buy them. The average home up 42%.
Now, the home that I bought with my wife 4.5 years ago, when I was having to sell cars for a living, we could afford it then. If I were making what I was making selling cars, we would not have a home. And we were making a good salary. We were making a good, because the house that we got into has doubled in price in my neighborhood. It has. That's just the way it is. And I was talking to, this morning we had the dishwasher repairman here. And we've had a dishwasher repairman here. I don't know why we're cursed on the dishwashers. Don't know what the deal is. Dishwasher repairman's been here four times. We have the Sears home warranty thing, right? And it kicks butt, by the way. And I was talking to the dishwasher repairman. I've seen him. I believe his name is Evgeny. And he is from one of the Baltic countries. Anyway, I said hi to him and all that. And I'd met him before. And I said, how are you doing in the economy? He asked me, how am I doing? I said, good. I said, how are you doing? He goes, I moved here 20 years ago. I live in an apartment for $350 a month. I won't do his accent anymore. $350 a month. I was making $16 an hour. I could afford my rent. It's 20 years later. My rent is $1,800 a month, and I don't make $48 an hour. That's impossible for me. And I said, it makes things very difficult. And he goes, oh, yes. And you could see it in his eyes, because he works his arse off. And he has for 20 years coming here to live the American dream. And I've talked to him before. And he has always been very optimistic. But when I saw him today and spoke to him this morning, I didn't see that optimism. I didn't. He just said, I pay $1,800 a month for rent. I'm not making $448 an hour. Don't you think that after 20 years, that I maybe ought to be there. And he scrapes by. He scrapes by why people in Washington, D.C. don't think twice about going to Whole Foods and their freaking EV and, you know, sending your money off to foreign countries and foreign wars you don't care about and paying for illegals to come here and stay in five-star hotels with gift cards. It's kind of interesting, ain't it? Yeah, yeah. Former acting CBB director Mark Morgan joins us next. Don't go anywhere. All right, this is the Rob Carson Show on this formerly Taco Tuesday, now the Tuesday of Transgender Taco Visibility. I thought you should know that. We have a special guest joining us in a second, Mark Morgan, former CBP director. But first, I want to tell you about, you know, what I've been saying is that it's 2024 and it's going to get really weird. And there's a real chance that maybe the supply chain could get broken again like it did in 2020, just in time for an election year. And then, boom, there goes a bridge in Baltimore. Whoa, you know. Yeah, yeah. We're still waiting to find out what the heck's going on there, if it was intentional or otherwise. But you can see how history, how your lives can change in an instant. And the one that you don't want to have, you know, fall apart is your ability to get your meds, especially in an emergency, especially meds like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, proved effective as a prophylaxis for COVID. No, Hunter, that's not what that means. Also, the Z-Pack, which I've used when my kids were little, there was a bird flu going around. And I couldn't get Z-Pack anywhere. I had to literally make the suspension myself. And all sorts of other things. Amoxicillin, that's something you need, everything from like an infected tooth to, you know, an upper respiratory infection. All of these are available with your emergency medical kit from the wellness company. And here's what you need to do to get that emergency medical kit. Just go to twc.health/Carson. You're going to save 10%. You'll get all those meds and more and instructions. My producer Ken cured his salmonella. He didn't expect it, but he had it there, and he took Z-Pack, killed it. Yay, love it. twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson. Calling in, because it is a Tuesday of Transgender Taco Visibility, Mark Morgan, former acting CBP director on the Newsmax Hotline. How are you today, sir?
Rob, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
On a much more serious note, we find out that the Biden administration not only flew 325,000 illegals from their country of origin into the United States, into 48 or 50 airports around the country without telling us where and when, but thanks to a FOIA request, we know that the lion's share of them just happen to be in states that have told Biden to stick it, mainly Florida, largely, and Texas. What are your thoughts about that, and also the fact that they're flying in illegals without telling Americans where they're from and where they're going?
Well, Rob, so this is what we've been talking about now, I think, for about 18 months. It's the CBP One app, and this is very important because this is what we, you know, we've referred to as the shell game. Here's the deal that they've made. If you come from four countries, Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Haiti, what they've said is, hey, if you pretty please stop illegally entering into the country, specifically through the southwest border and the coast of Florida, if you stop doing that, to avoid the bad political optics of even more illegal aliens coming in, we're going to make a deal with those four countries. If you were born in those four countries, regardless of where you reside now, we're going to actually let you get online, fill out a couple of sentences online, and then we're going to let you fly into now what we know, one of 43 airports in the United States. They're going to call that a legal pathway, and it's complete BS. It's unlawful, and they're simply doing it to avoid the bad political optics of their wide-open border policies.
There is something, and the reason why this is being hidden from the American public is because it puts our country in danger. And I believe there are people in our federal government, particularly Alejandro Mayorkas, who are engines of our destruction. I absolutely believe this, Mark. Why would they keep this secret from the American people? We have every right to know. We are sovereign citizens of this country. We are guaranteed by our Constitution that. How are they doing this without telling us, and why are they doing it without telling us?
Well, some of it, so this is important. This is a very good question, Rob. Some of it, they have been telling us. We haven't been paying attention. Again, it goes back to the shell game. They've been bragging about the CBP One app and how they've created this new legal, lawful pathway. They're just directly paroling them in. So it's very important. These individuals, the 325,000, they're not claiming asylum. They're circumventing the entire asylum process. They're literally being paroled in, which guarantees them work permits immediately for 2 years. They're circumventing the entire asylum process. What they haven't been telling us is where these individuals are going. And they have been lying to the American people, calling this a lawful pathway. Parole is supposed to be used on a case-by-case basis for a significant public benefit or humanitarian need. Like, for example, someone needs immediate acute medical intervention that they cannot acquire from their home country. That's an example. But again, it's case-by-case basis. They've thrown that law out the window. They've just said, as I said, if you come from those four countries, you're in. And think about this. Cuba, Venezuela, Haiti. Do you really think that we have the ability to vet these individuals before we're allowing them to get on a plane and come to the United States? Of course that's not happening. I mean, do you really think that the government of Cuba is working with us and say, wait a minute. Before you take that individual, we need to let you know he's actually a convicted criminal in Cuba, or he's a gang member, or Haiti. Rob, it's not happening. So
Mark, they're not sending this. They're not sending us their best and brightest. They're emptying out their prisons and asylums. That's it. Right. Cuba already did this. Venezuela has taken a cue from it. I just need to know why the hell, knowing this, why is Alejandro Mayorkas and why is Joe Biden doing this? This isn't just about votes. This vetting process is so loose, and it's coming from these countries. There's more to it than votes. I believe.
Well, so I think there are two things, right? And this is where, you know, I talked about this before. I've served this country for over 40 years. I've served under six administrations, both Republican and Democrat. Here's what I've never seen before in those 40 years is a convergence of both ideology and politics. We've always had politics on both sides. But let's address that real quick. From a political, from the vote perspective, is that there absolutely is a strategy here. One is, remember, illegal aliens are counted part of the census. In the past 38 months, we've encountered 9.1 million total nationwide encounters, another 2 million known gotaways. At this pace, it's going to be over 13 million total nationwide encounters and gotaways. That would be the equivalent to the fifth largest state in this country. And remember, the illegal aliens are counted, so that's redistricting of the House seats in the favor of the Democrats, which impacts the Electoral College, number one. Number two, yes, on the votes. They think every single illegal alien they find a pathway to citizenship is going to equate to a Democratic vote. Now, on the ideologic side, that's where I think Secretary Mayorkas is. I don't think he's being political. He's an ideologue, which makes him ignorant because he doesn't care about the downstream effects about drugs coming in, national security threats, and criminals. All he cares about is his open borders. We should erase them, and our country should be the depository for anyone in the world that wants to come, regardless of who they are, what their background, or ability to vet them, or how they got here. And it's the convergence of both the politics and the ideology that's driving the policy where we're at right now.
Mark, if you were hired by Donald Trump as possibly a CBP director or another agency associated with the border, what would you like to see done with Alejandro Mayorkas? What would you like to see done with the people who have facilitated this?
Look, I think there needs to be a thorough investigation to find out exactly. Look, so much of what we is going on is hid from us, right? And that's the challenge. I mean, this is a secretary who undoubtedly has walked up to that line as far as, in my opinion, criminality. And so at a minimum, there should be a full investigation. I want to know what he knew, when he knew it, and how deep does his intentional and willful disregard of the law and constitution go? I want to know, when he received the reports of the drugs pouring in killing Americans, when the criminals pouring in from 180 different countries that we know we cannot vet, yet he's releasing him, and yet we have a murder like Lincoln Riley. We have a murder like Kayla Hamilton. The list goes on and on and on. I want to know exactly what he knew, when, and what he did about it. I think that's important for the American people. And the impeachment, that barely scratched the surface, Rob.
I want to see heads roll. I'm just going to be honest. I want people to go to jail. I want people to go to jail for the death and destruction and child sex trafficking. This is the worst affront to a sovereign nation that I've ever seen, and it's been done by the people in power. A judge in Texas released those who rushed National Guard troops on the southern border. It's very clear that our DOJ is incredibly corrupt. What are your comments about people who would literally run over National Guard troops, military members, to come into a country illegally?
I said on day one that every single one of those individuals should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And then once they were done serving that sentence, they should be immediately removed. But here's the reality. Keep in mind, what we saw, we just happened to see that in video. But things like this are happening almost every day along the southwest border. It may not be as violent as what we saw, but we have, we're still averaging 5,000 to 6,000 individuals that knowingly and willfully are illegally entering our United States. And so, but what does this administration do is that not only are there zero consequences, and in regards to what AOC says, AOC, if you're listening right now, yes, illegally entering in between the ports of entry is a crime. Regardless if you claim asylum afterwards, that's still a crime punishable by prison. And so what should happen is there should be consequences for that. But there are zero, Rob. And in fact, not only are there zero consequences, but they're rewarded once they're released in the United States. And what the state of Texas is trying to do is they're actually trying to apply consequences. And to date, they've charged over 335 of those individuals with crimes. And luckily, and I'm surprised, but the El Paso district attorney as well as the county sheriff is actually honoring ICE detainers. So my understanding is right now, even though the judge said that they can be released, they're actually being held because the ICE detainers are being honored right now.
Good. Venezuela. Venezuela, Joe Biden allowed the government to enrich itself. We're buying oil from them. Joe Biden clearly, and the Democrat Party clearly have a penchant for Venezuela, clearly have a penchant for communist Cuba. I think they want to see America become those two countries. That's obvious to me. That's what they want to see happen here.
Look, I don't know about the deep-rooted, you know, motivations and who within the administration wants that. All I know is that what they're doing right now, Rob, is as you've stated multiple times, they are sacrificing and jeopardizing our nation's security and safety. Everybody listen, you have to understand. We're not saying everybody coming across the border is bad, but guess what? Not everybody is good. And the reality is right now, when they say that they are vetting people, that it's an intentional lie to give you a false sense of security. It's not happening. Somebody from Cuba, we are not getting their criminal history or their background from the government of Cuba before we're releasing them in the United States or Haiti or Venezuela. It's not happening. What country on the face of the planet will allow people in that we know we have no ability to actually verify what their criminality is? But yet we're presented with a case after case after case. Individuals coming to our country illegally are that we've allowed in that have claimed the lives of Americans in this country, and then later we find out about their criminality from their home country. I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and I think we've had enough of it. I think we're sick and damn tired of it. What would you recommend? We've only got about another minute. What would you recommend that average citizens do to prepare themselves for the criminality as well as other aspects of this illegal invasion? How would you ask or recommend that people be prepared should things, you know, go in the wrong direction in our country?
One is and I mean it sincerely, and this may not be the direction you want to go, but look, they have to get involved. They have to pay attention. They can't ignore what's happening in their country. They've got to be active participants. And as long as you keep electing people that are putting America last and 100 other nations first, this is going to continue, and you're going to give up your country. Get aware, get involved, get educated, put your ideology aside, look at the facts, and do the right thing, and make sure that we have individuals that we're electing to keep offices that understand the importance of border security, and it's synonymous with national security, so they can do the right thing.
Mark Morgan, as always, it's a real pleasure having you on. I'm praying for America. I'm praying for you. I know that we've got many tribulations to get through, but I believe we're going to win eventually. Thank you so much for being on the air with us, Mark. Real quick, for those who want to follow you on social media, where can they find you, my friend?
Heritage.org. That's where I'm a visiting fellow. They could go there, and that's exactly a great place that they can get educated what's going on. And also Border 911, it's another new grassroots effort. They can go there, get a lot of information to get educated on the reality of what's happening.
All right, Mark, have a glorious day. We'll talk again soon. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Dateline, New York City.
And last Wednesday, when police got a call about a man with a gun just footsteps away from a school across the street. When they arrived, they chased 24-year-old Hector De Sosa Villalta, believed to be from Venezuela, into the basement.
Eight illegal Venezuelans.
Of the home here at 3259 Hull Avenue. Well, that's where cops arrested him, along with seven others. Another man, 22-year-old Javier Alborno, tried to get away from the apartment with another weapon before he was also...
What were they doing in the country? Do they have work visas, and are they working the American dream? Why, no, of course. They're illegals armed with guns and illegal drugs caught squatting in a house across from an elementary school.
Arrested. Now, when a search warrant was in place, investigators recovered...
Six have already been released without bail.
Two more loaded guns, three loaded extended magazines, and a box...
They're already tied to other crimes in New York City, like robbery and attempted murder.
...of ammunition with a bag of ketamine mixed with cocaine. Now, De Sousa Villalta and eight others were charged with criminal possession of a weapon, criminal possession of controlled substance, and acting in a manner injurious.
You all about sick of this bleep? I'm about sick of this bleep. I think America's sick of this bleep. Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous and inexcusable. And the people who are doing this to us need to be prosecuted. Life in prison or worse. What could that mean? You got to move in with Hillary Clinton? Oh, no. Not that bad, but certainly worse than life in prison. This is Denver. In Denver, they are warning new migrants to leave because they have no more resources, even though they're a sanctuary city.
That's Andres Carrera, political director for Denver Mayor Mike Johnston.
New York te da más. Chicago te da más. Entonces sugiero que vaya por allá. Entonces hasta también con una verga de más largo plazo. También.
Where are they going to send people? Well, Chicago and New York City, of course.
Más oportunidades de trabajo por allá.
Carrera is Denver's so-called newcomer communications liaison. That means that he meets the busloads of new arrivals. The city says this group got here on March 26, sent up by Texas's Republican Governor Greg Abbott.
Yay, Greg!
He warns them the jobs, the resources, the opportunities have already gone to the 40,000 migrants who came to Denver before them.
You made your bed, you lay in it. Made your bed and lay in it there, you Democrat-run city. Here is, well, I don't know if I have time for Corinne Jean-Pierre. Corinne Jean-Pierre, of course, yesterday was confronted by Peter Ducey, and she immediately blamed everything on Trump, you know, because, you know, Trump, even though everything is Joe Biden's fault, and it's by design. I'll expand on this next hour over the, well, I've got some new audio on her, and then, all of the audio with regard to Joe Biden and creating it. And then also something we're going to touch on next hour. You thought the, not being on the court for the national anthem or kneeling during the national anthem was over, all that stupidity. Not so much with the LSU women's college basketball team. We will get to details on that. And the coach is now claiming she's clueless about it. That's all coming up on The Rob Carson Show. Stick around. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
This is the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show on this Tuesday, formerly Taco Tuesday. It is now the Tuesday of Transgendered Taco Visibility. There you go. That's it. And I did ask that question on X, formerly known as Twitter. I said, should, for diversity and inclusion's sake, we rename Taco Tuesday, Tuesday of Transgender Taco Visibility? I think that followers, I don't like to use that word because, you know, really, I have followers. Okay, like, what am I, Jim Jones? Anyway, no, my people who just check out my Twitter feed, 55% say no, and 44% say yes, I presume with a wink. So there you go. Tuesday of Transgender Taco Visibility. By the way, the number is 800-922-6680 if you'd like to call in. Have you been watching the NCAA basketball tournament, either men's or women's? My son is not this year because Kansas got stomped so thoroughly so early on in the I don't do the NCAA bracket because I don't have the expertise. I don't follow the sport enough, and I waste enough of my money when the Powerball or the Mega Millions reaches $1 billion, you know. So that's all I dabble in, you know, tremendous odds that you'll never win anything ever. I'll just leave it there. Because chances are, even though you, maybe you're really into it, and you really follow the teams, and you really carefully fill out your brackets, you have about as much chance of winning as I do. So there's that. Ugh. So did you see the LSU women's basketball team last night? Well, Iowa, my home state, thank you very much, beat the snot out of LSU. And apparently the LSU basketball-playing women decided to leave the court before the American National Anthem was played. And here's the National Anthem being played, and you can't see them, but they weren't there. I thought Black Lives Matter was going to save everything, fix everything, and everything's going to be cool and all that, and all the millions of dollars are going to be spent to help out the black community and all that stuff. No, guess not. I guess not. So I thought this was dead. I thought this stuff was kind of dead. This is going to be really big and ugly for LSU University. It is going to be. This is an embarrassment for LSU. We had moved beyond this nonsensical children throwing a temper tantrum crap about 2020. We had moved on, but for some reason they decided to do this. The Hawkeyes fortunately went ahead to beat them 94-87, which is terrific. Really glad to hear that. This is LSU head coach Kim Mulkey, who apparently has never played a basketball game before. And she says they had no idea that the national anthem apparently played during this time before the game.
Honestly, I don't even know when the anthem was played. we kind of have a routine where we are on the floor, and then they come off at the 12-minute mark.
Sound like Joe Biden with regard to the Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter.
We just, I don't know, and we come in and we do our pregame stuff. I'm sorry. Listen, that's nothing intentionally done.
Generally, it happens before every game. And every coach knows when it's going to happen. And that's a giant steaming pile of crap. And fortunately, your team isn't going to win the championship this year. Yay, go Iowa. Woohoo! I had mentioned, this story from Todd Bensman, who we will have on our show. We were wondering, these 325,000 plus illegals being flown in from their country without us knowing. And they're doing this because they want to step over the border without encountering governors like Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis. And they've sent a lion's share of these people from a number of countries that are hostile towards us, like Cuba and Venezuela. And here is what Todd Bensman discovered with regard to these flights.
That the vast majority of them seem to be coming into Florida. They're landing in Florida, airports, international airports all over Florida. 326,000 of them, as near as I can tell, from about 9 different countries, mainly 4 countries, Haiti, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. But also tens of thousands coming in through Texas, being landed in the Houston field office of the Customs, U.S. Customs. And 33,000 landing directly in New York field office, and in California, lots of thousands and thousands being flown in there. But the granddaddy of them all is Florida. We can tell that from public data manipulating and filtering through that they are coming through DeSantis's territory, right where Donald Trump lives. We haven't heard a word about any of this from the governor because he didn't know about it.
We have a very secretive and very evil federal government. They do a lot of their dirty, filthy, foul work under the cover of darkness. And that could be virtual darkness and it could be literal darkness. And I got to tell you, of all of the indignities that this government suffered upon us and has suffered and is still suffering upon us, this is gigantic, particularly to Florida, to strong governors who said, we are not going to take this. And I want, I believe that Donald Trump and his campaign are playing down the idea of retribution, and that's fine. I want it, though. I want it. I want military tribunals. I want people to go to jail. I want the administrative state completely dissembled, and I want people to be tried for all of the things they've done to you and me. But here is Corinne Jean-Pierre. She is, the worst example of a press secretary you could ever, ever imagine in history. Yesterday, completely blaming the border crisis, the murders, the deaths, the rapes, the child sex traffickings, all of this on Donald Trump, the last strong border president. Well, let's just say the strongest border president in at least 50 years.
Most of the border crossers accused of beating up Texas National Guardsmen in a riot last month were released on their own recognizance Sunday. How does that make people in this country any safer?
So I have to refer you to Department of Justice and DHS.
Oh, yeah,
that,
of course.
Particular
course. Yeah.
Reporting. I will say this. As the event unfolded, the Border Patrol was able to act quickly and get the situation under control and apprehend the migrants. And we were grateful that the Border Patrol was able to do their job. Look, there is...
After tying the Border Patrol's hands for the last 4 years.
Is a challenge at the border. Right? Our immigration system has been broken for decades.
No, you really broke the hell out of it starting 4 years ago.
Even before this president became president, obviously, more than three years ago. And this president, a couple months ago, worked with the Senate in a bipartisan fashion to get...
It was a Ukraine aid bill, and they threw $20 billion in there to make the border crisis permanent.
Negotiation done. right? And what we saw is from the last president, President Trump, told Republicans in Congress not to move forward with this negotiation.
Okay, let's go ahead and disprove this. This is Joe Biden during the 2020 campaign.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
4 years later.
Yeah. What else? Hold on a second. I think I got some more audio of Joe Biden literally dismantling the secure border that Donald Trump had.
Today I'm going to sign a few executive orders to strengthen the immigration system, building on the executive actions I took on day one to protect Dreamers and to end the Muslim ban and to better manage our borders.
It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was the ban on potential terrorists coming from terrorist states.
That's what these three different executive orders are about. And I want to make it clear.
You never make anything clear.
There's a lot of talk, with good reason, about the number of executive orders that I've signed. I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy. What I'm doing is taking on the issues that 99% of them, that the president, the last president of the United States, issued executive orders I thought were very counterproductive to our security.
No, they shut the border down.
Counterproductive to who we are as a country, particularly in the area of immigration. This is about how America is safer, stronger, more prosperous when we have a fair, orderly, and humane legal immigration.
Yeah, we're a country of immigrants, you moron. We always have been. It didn't start last week or last year or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. Most of us are the sons and daughters of immigrants. You're just bastardizing the system for your own political gain at the expense of the American people. Yeah, yeah. General Frank McKenzie testified before Congress. He says the open border is almost guaranteeing an attack from ISIS. Yeah, real.
So what do you think the threat to the homeland is? You heard General Carolla talk about, obviously, U.S. interests abroad. But the homeland, how soon, how big is ISIS?
So ISIS-K in particular, but ISIS in general, has a strong desire to attack our homeland. We should believe them when they say that. They're going to try to do it. And I think the threat is growing. It begun to grow as soon as we left Afghanistan and took pressure off ISIS-K.
Yeah.
So I think we should expect further attempts of this nature against the United States as well as our partners and other nations abroad. I think this is inevitable.
Yeah. And when it does happen, it is not Donald Trump's fault. It is not Trump supporters' fault. It is not patriotic Americans' fault. It is not people who cling to their Bibles and their guns' fault. It is Joe Biden and the deep state's fault. There's no doubt about it. I think we need to hear this now.
We won the last election. My campaign was perfection. They stole the vote, and we all know. They raided Mar-a-Lago. The FBI has got to go. They're not our friend. They are our foe. We're not gonna take it. No, you're not gonna take it. And you're not gonna take it anymore.
Yeah, I think we're kind of done. Done with this crap.
Hillary deleted all her emails.
Oh, that did happen.
And Hunter Biden should be in jail. You know I am right, and they are wrong. We'll win come this November, and this crap we will remember. Once and for all, let's drain the swamp. We're not gonna take it. No, you're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Believe me, we're not gonna take it. I just have to tell you.
We've got did that a couple of years ago. That is Sean Farish, who we introduced to you like almost 4 years ago, and now has become like the preeminent Trump impressionist. He's even been to Mar-a-Lago for dinner. Yeah, he's kind of like me. He came out of nowhere. I was selling cars. He was, I don't know what the hell he was doing, selling insurance or whatever. And now here's where we are. Now we are the Paul Revere's. We are the Paul Revere's of 2024. And Americans are angry. Keep your anger. Keep your patriotism. And above all, keep your joy. All right? Because we're going to win. We just need to stay focused. All right. So coming up, we've got, what's that $20 minimum wage doing in California? That, among other things, and a little bit more news on the economy and what it costs to live in this country and why people are moving from New York. It's getting real ugly. This is the Rob Carson Show. This is Donald Trump's arrival in Michigan today. Yeah, I don't see that kind of enthusiasm for Joe Biden. He's done a couple of campaign stops today and tomorrow. I believe he's going to be in Wisconsin as well. So the crowds are the crowds are epic. And this last weekend really, you know, I think sealed the deal with regard to the American people and the indignities suffered upon them by this government, the open southern border, Lake and Riley's murder, which happened a few weeks ago. You've got the murder of a police officer in New York City. You've also got the tone-deaf appearance of Joe Biden in New York City at Radio City Music Hall. And, you know, and then, of course, Donald Trump going to the wake of the officer involved, and Jonathan Diller's funeral, by the way, his wife doing speaking. Pardon me, I was being distracted here. But I think it really sealed the deal. It sealed the separation that divides us between us and them, and they are the them, and we are the us. And the us is becoming a much bigger group. The us is black people and white people, and as I say, hillbillies, homeboys, and Hebrews. Coming together, liberals and conservatives, not the left. The left is done. The left is, they're done. We have nothing in our hearts but crushing them, destroying them, driving them out of every institution, driving them out of government. And if they don't like it, they can stick it. But that said, Kathy Hochul, who has ushered in so much nonsense in the state of New York with regard to no bail laws, with regard to defunding the police, she's down with all of that crap. She thought she would horn in on the funeral of a police officer. And thankfully, the police officer's family said, no, you're not coming here. Did the same thing to the worthless POS Letitia James and Alvin Bragg, who are more focused on Donald Trump and creating crimes to try to put him in jail to prevent him becoming the president, which isn't going to work, than actually protecting police officers. And here is Kathy Hochul, tail between her legs, going to Al Sharpton to explain away why she was booted out of a funeral.
And yesterday and today, the day of the funeral, it's been a heartbreaking experience for all New Yorkers. We grieve with this family, especially a young widow who has a one-year-old son who'll be raised without his...
Then why did you usher in the policies to precipitate this death?
...father because of the horrific acts by a brazen criminal. And I went to the...
An illegal alien, you mean?
...to meet the family and speak to everyone from his wife and mother, father.
By the way, the illegal alien had been arrested 21 times previously.
Their brothers, sisters, everyone is just so distraught. And yes, there's a lot of anger. Understandably, there's anger about how these individuals who commit crimes over and over are back out on the streets again.
You and the Democrat Party.
So that's one of the reasons we worked hard with the legislature last year to change the bail laws so the judges have more discretion. And
why is it still happening? And why did it happen just 2 weeks ago when the officer was murdered?
You know, there's a lot of complicated factors here, but I told...
No, there aren't. Rudy Giuliani did it.
We understand the outrage of the family. I do. And we're working hard to keep crime down. But speaking of our efforts, you know what we've done in the subway.
I don't even care. She's going to talk about the subways. And the really stupid thing about that, you know what she did in the subways? She committed 1,000 National Guard troops to the subway system. You know what she did to them? She disarmed them. You know what else she did with them? She's having them search law-abiding citizens' handbags and backpacks. And they're considering, literally, scanners to go into the subway. That's it. So your subway in New York City is going to become the nightmare that your airport flying has become. And a lot of it is absolute nonsense. And by the way, since Kathy Hochul committed those troops to the subway, one man was shot in the head on the subway at the hands of his own gun, by the way, and another man was shoved in front of a train and murdered. There you go. Honestly. Stay away from funerals. Stay away from the mic when it has anything to do with crime because you're the cause of it. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. Why did they suddenly make CO2 into a pollutant? The full explanation on the other side of this break. And this is The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%. There's nothing wrong with a little AC/DC. Masters of three-chord rock. So, we heard a story earlier about 8 Venezuelan illegals squatting in a home I believe it was Harlem. They were trafficking drugs and guns, human trafficking as well, and they were squatting in a home that was owned by somebody else. This is happening all over the country. That's why squatting laws are being passed, because apparently something slipped under the radar. Or, you know, it was intentional. Irregardless, people are moving into homes that are vacant. Or even when you're on vacation. Well, what about if somebody virtually steals your home? What about if somebody virtually steals, and they may be living in it right now. You don't even know it. You don't know it. Maybe they're living in it because they're using your credit. Maybe they already have your deed. It does happen. It does happen. A lot of times we focus on a cell phone theft or a wallet being stolen. But your deed can be taken from you. Your home can be taken from you. Your equity can be taken from you. And if you'd like to find out if any of those things are happening or already has, go to HomeTitleLock.com and just enter the promo code Carson, okay? When you do that, you will be able to get a free comprehensive scan of your title now so you know what's going on, all right? Then 30 days of legendary home title lock protection. Okay, so there you get both of those, and all you got to do is go to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Carson, okay? HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. So for my entire adult life, I've been told the world's going to end. And it was all my fault. All of my entire adult life, global cooling, a new ice age, ozone hole, acid rain, global warming. Then when global warming wasn't happening, it became climate change. And then it became CO2, the gas. And they made CO2 into the boogeyman. I mean, it was the worst thing in the world. CO2, carbon dioxide. Let me spell it for you. There you go. That's carbon dioxide. If indeed carbon dioxide were the enemy, don't you suppose that every mammal on the face of the earth is destroying the planet, right? Why bother protecting species? Because all they do is expel carbon dioxide and destroying the atmosphere. I could go into all the hypocrisy of the left, but it's very clear what carbon dioxide regulation is all about. Virtually everything you do produces carbon dioxide. That means that they can control it all. The federal government can regulate carbon dioxide six ways to Sunday. Not exactly how what that means, but that's what it can do. Everything from your gas stove. Oh, they want to do your ceiling fan. What the hell kind of sense does that make? It's about control. It's about taking over your life. It's about deciding what you can eat and what you can drive and what you can fly and all of that stuff and how you can behave and ultimately what you should obey. This is journalist Alex Newman talking. Hello, Newman. About carbon dioxide.
A lot of this environmental question depends on, I think, a very flawed...
This was at an Epic News forum.
...odd fundamental presupposition. It depends on the idea that carbon dioxide is pollution. And I would argue, after interviewing hundreds of scientists, including many who've worked for the UN IPCC, many of the leading scientists in the world, that the notion that CO2 is pollution is absolutely preposterous.
Of course.
We exhale about 2 pounds of it every single day. The proportion of greenhouse gases made up of human CO2 emissions is a fraction of a fraction of 1%. The idea that that is going to destroy the planet or change the temperature of the earth is frankly, in my opinion, totally ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, if you can convince people that CO2 is pollution, there's no human activity that doesn't result in CO2 emissions, including living, including dying, turning on a light switch. Every single aspect of your life, then, if we submit to the idea that CO2 is pollution, then comes under the regulatory control of the people who claim to be saving us from pollution.
So, yeah, essentially a de facto North Korean takeover is what it is. Have you ever seen, like, North Korea, all the insane restrictions on activity, behavior, etc.? That they've been able to create this mania gives the government the permission to regulate anything that involves creating CO2, which includes everything.
So when they do these environmental studies and they say, well, your CO2 footprint will be smaller if you eat bugs or you do this, that, or the other, you drive an electric car, that doesn't show anything about whether that's going to benefit the environment or not. In fact, CO2 has actually been very beneficial for the environment.
Yeah.
In interviewing Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, a physics professor at Princeton University, he said the Earth is starving for more CO2. And since we've had a little bit of an increase in atmospheric CO2 over the last 100 years or so, plants have gotten much greener, agricultural yields have improved. So I think we need to also talk about the fundamental presupposition here. Is CO2 really pollution? If it's not, then all these alleged environmental benefits are completely fictional.
And by the way, what happened to carbon monoxide? Carbon monoxide is the thing that kills you if your car's auto exhaust leaks into the cabin. Why are we not concerned about carbon monoxide versus carbon dioxide? We've never been concerned about carbon dioxide before. It's because they needed a new boogeyman. They needed to create something new. And the really stupid thing is that they've decided that things should be carbon neutral, which is stupid. All right? Because when, say, for instance, an animal dies, as it rots, it's going to create carbon dioxide. What do you do about that? Virtually everything we do has something to do with carbon dioxide. 8 states are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars entirely. Did you know about that? And I would say you can stick it. California, of course, is on this list, by the way. At least eight states planning to ban them. The rule first adopted by California means that automakers and dealerships will be barred from selling new gas cars in these states. From that point onwards, Americans will not be forced to take their gas-powered cars off the road, however, and will still be able to buy used and second-hand gas vehicles, just no new ones. And by the way, for everybody who has an automotive job right now in the industry, all of your jobs are dead. everything. If you build carburetors, if you build engine blocks, if you build anything in the supply chain, essentially for a vehicle that has a traditional gas engine and transmission and all the sundry vehicles associated as well, all of the dump trucks, they'll never be electric, all of the whatever trucks, all of you will be out of business. They want to have 35 to 56% electric vehicles by 2032. That's not very far off, 8 years away. 13% to 36% needing to be plug-in hybrids by that date. Problem is, they will never be electric semis that are worth a crap. They will have limited range, and the batteries will weigh half as much as the load that the truck can haul. It will become a boondoggle. I like to say that God has a sense of humor because this winter, he gave us one of the coldest winters we've seen in decades, and it showed how terrible EVs are. Because in places like Chicago, they become piles of junk. And as I have said in my many videos, they are cute. They're commuter cars. You can go to Whole Foods. You can buy your Tapuli. You can buy your Field Greens. But nobody who drives a semi, nobody who drives a pickup truck that does anything regarding work wants to have them because they're pieces of crap. But they had to make COT the boogeyman. And they got enough people, useful dupes, to believe it. And they're trying to destroy our lives. And that's why I'm bringing this up. And that's why Joe Biden has given so much of our money to the green industry nonsense. The Green New Deal. It's the New Deal. All right. The Democrats have nothing new on the policy front but the New Deal. Roosevelt did the New Deal. He created work, not jobs. That's what they're doing with this. And they're sending all the money to China to build the batteries and the windmill parts and all that because Joe Biden's presidency is the quid pro quo. Listen to this. The Biden administration threw billions at EV charging stations. Only a handful have been built. Do you remember, what was it? Solyndra under Barack Obama. Barack Obama gave them billions of dollars that they went under. They took all the money and they went under. Joe Biden or Barack Obama spent $787 billion on infrastructure, just like the Green New Deal. Nothing was built. He even admitted it. He even said, I guess the projects weren't shovel ready. And then I said, when the Democrats say something is shovel ready, you'd better have your shovel ready because you're going to get bleeped upon. The bipartisan infrastructure bill, which was not bipartisan, allotted $7.5 billion to subsidize thousands of EV chargers to help the administration's goal of having EVs constitute 50% of new cars by 2030. Only 7 stations in total have been built in 4 states. Yeah. The slow rollout of the EV charger funding is unfolding as the Biden administration has recently issued stringent emission standards for light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles. They want to put car manufacturers out of business. And you guys who belong to the UAW, they're going to put you out of business. Yeah. So the infrastructure bill has so far been responsible for just 38 operational individual charging spots across the U.S., according to the Washington Post. The open stations are located in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, and Hawaii. Construction of more stations is underway in 4 other states. Several logistical challenges are apparently responsible for the sluggish rollout, including people don't want to buy these pieces of crap. Those are just my words, by the way. Including requirements that subsidized charging stations are built within 1 mile of the interstate roadway, operate at least 97% of the time, and that each charger provides 150 kilowatts of power, according to the Post. The permitting process has also posed problems, especially for projects in remote areas where utility providers may not be prepared to accommodate significant increases in electrical demand. By the way, there will never be worthwhile electric tractors. There will never be worthwhile electric tanks. There will never be worthwhile MRAPs or any other vehicle because military vehicles have to be battle ready and cannot be hobbled by weather conditions. Yeah. And then I'll just remind you of this. Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm quietly met with top CCP energy officials to combat climate change prior to strategic petroleum reserve reveal. So Jennifer Granholm has been meeting our Secretary of Energy with China to send contracts to them for EV batteries, windmill parts, solar panels, all of that, while simultaneously taking down the fossil fuel industry in our country. And as I have said, Joe Biden's presidency for China and enemy states is the quid pro quo. And with that...
Well, she's got an EV. It's a car that is going to break her.
Keith Wilson.
It costs a fortune just to run it, and that's what it's going to take her.
Written by Jim Gossett.
$10,000 for a battery. I wonder now if it will wake her. Cause she'll be broke, broke, broke when her banker takes her EV away. Especially when she's driving at night and she's way out of range.
Got
now.
Now she's got a plug-in.
Back to a gas-powered car, you know she really ought to change
it's
now.
Combustion. It's a gas, gas,
cause
gas.
She'll go broke, broke, broke till her banker takes her EV away.
That's pretty good.
It's a crapshoot with her EV when she tries to start.
This time, what's wrong with it now?
Yeah, she'll call AAA and just ask the driver to cart
it. Take it away now, please take it away.
From this piece of crappy meat, she should soon be parted.
She made a mistake, now she made a mistake.
And she'll go
broke, broke, broke when the tow truck takes her EV away.
Again, that is Keith Wilson. Just connected with Keith Wilson. I worked with him a long time ago in Springfield, Illinois. I mean, hell on earth. I mean, Illinois, at a radio station, and found him, and he's still doing great Beach Boys covers, and that is his. So thank you. Real quick before the break, I want to mention my email address. We just unveiled a new email address. It's not fancy. It's just robcarsonshow@gmail.com. RobCarsonShow@gmail.com. I want to make it simple. If you have a note, try to keep it relatively short, because I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of them to get through. So don't make it three or four pages. I don't have time to read it. I do want to mention this from Kim, because yesterday I talked about the number of people who are dying from alcohol, particularly those who are in their 50s. 40s and 50s are dying. Despair is lying. She wrote me. She says, you are witnessing to us about this. Is wonderfully touching. I'm so glad you are here on Earth. I need to hear you. I need to listen to you. I'm so outrageously pissed about what's going on since November the 4th, 2020. You are saying all the things I need to hear me. Keep up and keep positive. You teach me something every single day. And by the way, as a result of my outrage, I have officially joined the Republican Party and stepped out of my comfort zone and decided to get involved in my town as a central committee member for my precinct. I need to try to defeat this insanity. Also, she said, Deplorabella is also so important to someone like me. I need to hear her. She's necessary to me. And by the way, Deplorabella is amazing and an amazing contributor to the show. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. This is not an EV, and it never will be. So, I have an expression I came up with a couple years ago, because Joe Biden has the reverse Midas touch, meaning that everything he touches turns to crap. And so I call it the crap touch. Yeah, it is. He's got the crap touch. Everything that he touches, Afghanistan, southern border, economy, inflation, he turns to crap. And it appears that Gavin Newsom has the same thing. The California $20 minimum wage for fast food workers began Monday, and they're already closing businesses. Yeah, did you know that? 500,000 people who work in the fast food restaurants are not teenagers earning some spending money, but adults working to support their families. This includes immigrants like Ingrid Villorio, who said she had started working at a McDonald's shortly after she arrived in the United States in 2019. She says the $20 wage is great. Her employers, not so much, because in places like, well, if you own a McDonald's, the increase in cost will be about $500,000 a year. Here is John Stossel. And by the way, just a reminder. The key word in the word minimum wage is minimum. And that's all you'll ever get from the Democrat Party. The minimum.
The city of Seattle made history on Monday when it raised the minimum wage.
The highest in the nation by far.
5 years ago, Seattle became the first city to pass a $15 minimum wage.
I think it's pretty awesome since I benefit from it.
But a rising tide raises all boats.
15 in Seattle is just a beginning. We have an entire world to win. Solidarity.
When the law passed, we went to Seattle to interview people about
it. I know this is Seattle and not California.
It's a good thing that we're leading the way for the rest of the country.
I wish that it was all over the place, not just Seattle.
Increasingly, it is.
New York State taking steps towards a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Other states and lots of cities have copied Seattle.
California Governor Jerry Brown signed a $15 minimum wage.
Now, here's the problem. There is a, like Pizza Hut and Round Table Pizza. The Menlo Park, California, they have about 400 pizza parlors, mostly on the West Coast. They plan on, and already have laid off, 1,280 delivery drivers this year. Michael Ojeda, Pizza Hut driver for 8 years in Ontario, California, received one of the notes, a pink slip from Pizza Hut franchisee because of this. During the pandemic, a $15 minimum wage was effectively made the rule of the land. And it has caused a lot of small businesses to go out of businesses. And mandating $20 an hour is going to do precisely that. Where I live right now, you can go to Walmart and start at $17 an hour. No small business in the area can do that. That's why Mamie McDonald's is run by their family. One family, an Indian family, runs the entire business. All of the teenagers who work there don't work there anymore. Congratulations. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show today, guys. The podcast of the entire show will be up shortly. Go to your usual podcast platform favorite and look up Rob Carson Show and subscribe and share, or just ask Alexa to play the Rob Carson Show. God bless you guys, America, Israel, and until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. See you guys then.